Welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Legal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. We're part of CKUT's Off the Hour at 90.3 FM in Montreal, www.ckut.ca on the World Wide Web. That track was Fortress Europe by Asian Dub Foundation off their CD, Enemy of the Enemy. Soita, along with Mejia, is a Spanish enclave in North Africa. It's technically part of Spain, but it's geographically located in Morocco. It's been called a European gated community located on the African landmass. Because of its location, Ceuta, as well as Melilla, are logical destinations for migrants trying to enter into the European Union. But in recent years, as part of the implementation of Fortress Europe, a border fence has gone up in Ceuta and Melilla, in addition to other interdiction efforts. These repressive measures have not stopped migrants from trying to enter into the European Union, but rather has forced them to make even more dangerous and longer journeys, getting onto boats further south in Senegal and Mauritania, trying to reach the Canary Islands. Spain, with the collaboration of Morocco, reinforced the border fence in Ceuta and Melilla in 2005. In 2006, according to the Red Cross, at least 3,000 migrants drowned trying to make the more precarious journey to Europe from Mauritania further south, a direct result of the border fence at Ceuta and Melilla. On today's show, we get a frontline report from Ceuta from David Moffitt, a member of No One Is Legal in Quebec City. For the past 2 months, David has been in Ceuta, where he's investigating immigration discourses, as well as the treatment of migrants in Ceuta who try to get into the European Union. Interviews by David with migrants camped out in Ceuta will be featured on a future edition of No One's Legal Radio. But today, we have David's impressions directly from Ceuta. In this wide-ranging interview, David speaks about the border fence at Ceuta, other interdiction efforts, as well as the struggle of migrants to get out of Ceuta and into the European Union. We'll go to that interview right now with David Moffitt of No One Is Legal Quebec City in Ceuta, Spain.
David, you're in Ceuta, and I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners, why is Ceuta, this enclave in North Africa, which is part of Spain, why is Ceuta so significant?
Well, it is actually the southern border of Schengen space, which is the European Union common territory. So it is a pretty militarized and securitized border because it is European border in South Africa. So I used to call Ceuta a European gated community because you have some little part of rich Europe in northern Africa and a lot of migrants from sub-Saharan Africa and another part of the world getting into Europe through this door. So it's really militarized and it's not, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a rest of Spanish colonization in North Africa, but it's pretty close to that. So there's a lot of power struggle, and it's a pretty special place.
I guess one way that the significance manifests itself is through a border fence, which is built in Ceuta, which is also built in another Spanish enclave called Melilla. Many of our listeners are familiar, of course, with the border wall that's going up between the U.S. and Mexico. People are familiar with the apartheid wall that's being built by the Israeli occupation forces in Palestine. Many are less familiar, of course, with this border fence, which is blocking off routes from Africa into these European enclaves, as you call them. So can you describe this border fence? What does it look like? When was it built? What is its significance? What kind of effect does it have on migration?
Yeah, totally. We have to think that Ceuta is a really small, like it's 17 years old, 17 kilometers getting into the Mediterranean Sea, so it's a little piece of land, and it has border with Morocco, so it's some 4 kilometers of fences. It's not all the way fenced, but most of it is fenced. There's two fences with barbed wires and electronic devices to get to see people coming in, and there's also big fences going into the sea because people used to cross swimming. So when you go to the beach and at the end you have a big fence getting into the sea, and there's only two ways to cross the border. There's one border post, which is the main one, which is pretty militarized too, and there's another small one that permits the people from Morocco just to the village next to it, to cross into Morocco, to into Ceuta, to do every day some cheap labor work, because a lot of the people here in Ceuta get their, you know, houses washed by Moroccan women, and so there's control for Moroccan people doing the bad works here, and other control for rich European people getting into European Union or Canadian like us to go across. And there is other kind of control for Moroccan who don't come just to do the bad work here in Ceuta, and sub-Saharan migrant. In Malaysia, it's a border with some kind of spider web they put between the two walls to make sure that if people cross one wall, one fence, they get stuck between some kind of spider web and they can't even cross the second one. Here in Ceuta, it's not so bad. But we always have to remember that the Spanish government is building these fences to not to have to deal with refugee asylum seekers here in Ceuta, because anyway, the real borders is the Gibraltar Strait, because there's the sea, and the migrant will succeed in crossing. Anyway, they're stuck here in this no man's land because they're not yet into Europe.
And could you describe some of the other measures that are used to prevent migration? The border fence is one piece of the puzzle, of course, but you've observed firsthand other parts of that. Can you describe that?
Yeah, I would say that for Ceuta, what has been the worst for migrants and that pushed them to take even more risks to go to the Canaries Island, for example, is the what in Spanish is called a SIVE, S-I-V-E, system. It's been a system that's been implemented since 1998 to check all the boats that are crossing into the peninsula. There's a lot of boats to go and prevent the little ship to get with migrant to get into Spain. They control it with satellite, with a lot of military and police. So it's pretty hard to succeed into leaving the Moroccan coast and getting into mainland Spain by boat right now. And a lot of people would take smaller boat not to get it identified. They will die in the sea or would decide to go to the Canaries Island. And this also makes that people who come into Ceuta before some people would get into small fishermen boats and get into the peninsula because they're stuck here, even if they're in Spain, and they would get into mainland Spain. But now with this control, either they go to the Canaries Island and take great risk for their life, or they wait here in Ceuta for months and right now even for years. So that's one of the measures. And also, if you're in Ceuta, you have two border control. You have one coming from Morocco, and then you have another one taking the boat. So the port area is also another border. You feel like you're in the border zone where everywhere is border, and you have a border with Morocco, but you also have another border to make sure that people who come into Ceuta, they don't get into the peninsula, even if it's the same country. So you have, you know, inland border to make sure they don't go further if they got in.
David, can you describe then the consequences on migration of this border fence and also of the interdiction of the boats, of the police, etc.? I mean, it's pretty obvious, I guess, that this is meant to stop migration, but certainly it doesn't stop migrants from coming into Ceuta, or it doesn't stop migrants from trying to find other ways to get to Western Europe. So can you describe for our listeners what are the consequences of these policies implemented by Spain and the European Union?
Yeah, I would say that there's two main effects for people coming from Africa. There's the one that I've been mentioning, that a lot of people are taking even more risk to go from southern Morocco into Canaries because they think it would be easier than to get into Ceuta, where they know that people pass a lot of time. People won't cross to the peninsula, but use this other path, which is a really dangerous one. The other more precise consequences for Ceuta right now is that at one point there's been 3,000 migrants without any situation for them living in Ceuta before he was living in the street and waiting for a solution for them to get into in the peninsula where they can have some work. Right now they put them into the city, which is a temporary center for migrants. It's open air, it's open center, it's open camp, so it's not a jail like you have in the peninsula. It's an open center, and up to like 2006, some 20 migrants, this is what the migrants have been telling me, that every day some 20 people would get into the peninsula, and less would be deported. And now it's getting worse, and much more people are getting deported, and since a couple of months, really few people go to mainland Spain. The people who can claim refugee status, people from sometimes from Congo, Algeria, just a few other people from Ivory Coast would get into it, but most of sub-Saharan African, most of Asian migrants are passing even more and more time in Ceuta, and it's lost time for them. When some people have been, you know, staying here for 2 years, this also destroys life. You can die in this, you know, in the sea, but you can also die waiting for papers to work, because in Ceuta there's no work. They're stuck here. They're attended in the city, but they don't like the food. They don't like what's, you know, like it's basic covering of, you know, human needs, but for dignity it's really bad, and it also makes that there's more conflict with the people here in Ceuta, because they spend more time, there's more people, and they try to work the way they can. And even though they put the immigration center really far in the mountain to make sure that they don't bother anyone, and, you know, because people would complain, you know, it's still hard for these people dignity. This is more, you know, especially in Ceuta. And for people who get into mainland Spain without having the proper papers, Spain has been recognized as pretty progressive if you compare to France or Italy, for example. Not meaning that it's really open to migrants, but it was better than other countries before, and now it's really getting harder, and with the measures that are being signed right now, supported by France, which is having the presidency of the European Union right now, the detention center have people would stay in detention center more time right now in Spain, and it's getting way harder. Spain was known by migrants as a good way to get into Europe, and it's getting really bad.
David, you've said that in analyzing the situation, you've said that it's not necessarily so hard to get in, but it's hard to get out. Can you explain what you mean by that in reference to migration in Ceuta?
Yeah, a lot of migrants here in Ceuta say that the real border, is the strait. And when people help them get in, most of the time asking a lot of money for them to get into Spain, they don't really know that the Spain they will go to is African Spain. And a lot of people also say that the border control are way more important when you cross to the mainland Spain, and then when you go to Morocco, or you come from Morocco, and actually there's no custom, because Morocco doesn't recognize that this is Spanish territory. It says it's Moroccan territory, and there's no custom between Ceuta and Morocco. The custom is actually when you get into mainland Spain. So that's just to show that you're not really in Spain when you get here, and I would say that a lot of people will criticize the city as being a camp or a jail, but it's not actually, because people can go in and out even though the conditions are not really good. The real jail is Ceuta itself. You know, people can walk the street, but as some friends were saying right now, if we're out and they want to deport us, where can we go? We have, on one side, we have Morocco, on the other side, the sea. It's 17 square kilometers jail. We can go wherever we want, but there's no place to go. And you feel it. You feel that people walk around the street, not like if they were free, just like if they were in jail, because they would like to go in other places where there's more work, when you can work even if you don't have paper, because there's a lot of city in mainland Spain where even if you don't have the proper paper, you're able to work and live somehow with more dignity, even if you would like to have the proper paper and it would be easier. But here you can't even do that. So you have people walking down the street, going to the beach because there's nothing else, eating when they tell them to eat because they give food, and walking down the street just like they would be walking in jail.
David, obviously, it makes sense that most of the migrants that come to Ceuta are from other parts of Africa. Ceuta and Melilla are clearly two logical places to go on your way to Europe if you're not able to get into Europe through other means. But you've also been working more recently with Asian migrants from the Punjab in India and also from Bangladesh who've come to Ceuta, who are camped out there. So I'm wondering if you could describe their situation. As far as I understand, you've met and spoke and interviewed these people who've been living outside the immigration center in Ceuta for a while. So can you describe that situation?
Yeah, well, a lot of people from, not so many people, but migrants from India, from Bangladesh, from Pakistan especially, but before also Kurds from Turkey. I've been using this path because they can fly to Mali without needing a visa. So they fly into Mali and then use the same migration route that the sub-Saharan African use to go up, but they have less support from same ethnies or some families in other countries that are related to them that can protect them, and it's a pretty dangerous path. So a lot of people are stuck with mafia. They live a lot of violence. They don't speak French or sometimes English, but bad English, and the more local languages either. So they're really targets, easy targets for local people who want to get money out of them and mafia. So it's a really hard path for them. And when they get across the desert, get into Algeria, get into Morocco, and into Ceuta, right now they're not recognized as refugees easily, as some people in some African states would be. So most of them stay here for a long time, and longer time than sub-Saharan African. And these, last year there was a group of Bangladeshi that had been here for 2 years without any solution, and as they were told that there was no solution and they were to be deported someday, they decided to get out of the city and set up a camp just next to it. Everyone knows where it is, but it's in the camp with tents, and they pressured pretty strongly the government, and it was just before the election, and some people in Madrid also supported them, occupied the immigration minister office, and they succeeded into pressuring the government and getting into mainland Spain. Some of them got resident paper and working paper, most of them just resident paper, but they should have the proper working paper soon. And right now, a group of 72 Punjabi Indian were told the same thing, that they didn't have for refugee status because they couldn't defend it. They were economic refugee, and this is not recognized, as you know. And so they were told that they were to be deported. And last year, a group of 4 has been deported, another group of 12. And a lot of people have been telling me that when you sleep in the city at night at 4 a.m., cops would come and ask for your cards. And on your card, there's a number. And they look if they have to deport you or not. And some people said that at night they have been waking them up and asking for their number. And up to now, these people have not been deported, but they're scared every day to be deported. So right now they decided to use the same path and try to follow the example of the Bangladeshi, and they went in the mountain. There, right now, 4 of them stay in the city, and there are 68 of them living in various parts of the mountain just next by, which is military land. And they live by little tents, have 3 places to cook, and they've been there since 2 months right now, after 18 months to 2 years being in the city without any solution. And now it's not election time, there's not so many people who know about their situation in Madrid, for example, and it's a harder solution. It's harder for them to get a solution, and the government, the central government delegates here in Ceuta, just said that they weren't follow that because they're afraid that a lot of people would pressure the government to get into that. So right now it's vacation. All functionaries are out. They don't think they will be either deported or translated into mainland Spain. And while this is happening, they wait in the mountain. This is the month where rain starts more here in Ceuta in August. So they're having a really hard time. And nevertheless, they work together, really a lot of solidarity, and they're, you know, living outside. But they want to pressure, and a lot of people here in Ceuta start to say that it's impossible that we let people sleep in the bush and sleep outside. And I think it's a good way to pressure, because the city, it's a good humanitarian place, and you have food, you have shelter. So the people here in Ceuta would just say that, okay, it's all right, they have food, they have shelter. And going out make people realize how hard is their life here and how urgent is the need for them to be translated, to be transferred to mainland Spain. So that's pretty much the situation right now. They keep struggling, they keep fighting, and there's a small Hindu community here with about 1,000 people, which are pretty influent, and they have some money and some business here, and they have contact with them, and they're trying to pressure the government through the local politician to get a solution. We'll see in the next couple of months what happens, but they really need people to know and support, and you know, and to get into Spain, because if they're alone here in Ceuta, it's pretty far, and what happened here doesn't really get into Spain, into Madrid, and people don't get to know it so much.
David, you're a community organizer and an activist based in Quebec. You've worked on a variety of issues around migration and immigrant justice. For example, you helped support Mohamed Sherfi when he was in sanctuary in Quebec City. You attended and participated in the No Border Camp that took place at the Laval Detention Center in Montreal. And I'm wondering if you can reflect a little bit on your recent experiences in Ceuta and what you will be bringing back with you to your organizing in Quebec around migrant justice issues. Clearly, there are two different contexts, but at the same time, there are the same context of worldwide migration, of walls going up, of global apartheid. And I'm wondering, I know it's a difficult question, but if you can reflect a little bit about what you've learned from this experience and what you're bringing back to your organizing when you come back to Quebec.
Well, I think that the European scene and the European example is really important for us to look at it. That a lot of the harsh measure on detaining people, on putting harsh fences, and a lot of the securitizing discourses on immigration, saying that they steal the job, that they're dangerous, that they would destroy the culture. These are the discourses a lot of politicians and police officers and citizens use in Europe, much more than what it's been done, I think, in Canada right now. And I think it's interesting to see the policies that are going on right now here, see what happened in Italy, see what happened in Spain, which was so-called open to immigrants, and to see how they react to the pressure and the way they block immigrants to get in, and the way people are organizing also. Not so much in Ceuta, because there's almost no activists here working with these people, but more in mainland Spain. And they're organizing a lot against detention, against this discourse, and finding way to oppose them. And I think it's important for us to look, because I really think that the European Union is just some 10 years, 5 years in front of us, into the harsh conditions for immigrants, into repression on migrants, and I think we have to be really careful and look at what's happening in Europe to make sure it don't happen here It doesn't happen in Canada. And I'm pretty sure we will see a lot of the policies happening right now here, and we see it already getting implemented into Canada in a lot of the discourses we hear also. We can see how the folks and the activists are responding to these populist lie about the threat of migration and about these discourses that's been developed and proposed a lot here in Europe to develop in Canada counter discourses and strategies to be sure that we see it coming and we react before it's too late.
David Moffitt, speaking in Ceuta, Spain. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One's Legal Radio.
Thank you, Taggy.
Trop nombreux sont ceux qui ont oublié le passé. L'histoire de l'homme, une honte, faut-il te le ressasser? Le monde, une spirale où les mêmes erreurs sont retracées. À force de côtoyer l'horreur, nos cœurs sont devenus glacés. Nous parlent que de profit, la condition de l'homme effacée. Mondialisation et concurrence sont leur unique phrasée. Les peuples unitéralement écrasés, la création menacée. Multinationales et croissance sont tracées. Leur route sur nos libertés, ils ont juré crash et créé un entravera la leur. À l'heure où les dictatures sont cachées, à cause de leur profit immédiat. L'avenir est gâché. Cette bande d'ingrats ont réduit la planète à un grand marché. La loi des plus riches et beaucoup crèvent avant d'être âgés. Protestations dites criminelles si tu les as outragés. Ils mentent lorsqu'ils disent que le mal-être n'est que passager. Puis s'étonnent quand la nature se rebelle comme un peuple enragé. Disaient transparents alors que de sang leurs mains sont tachées. Déconseillent fortement d'avoir des idées trop engagées. Accélération de leurs plans depuis que des avions se sont crashés. Et toi, dis-moi dans quel sens au système es-tu attaché? Ils prêchent le blasphème et la vraie lumière se fait lyncher. Ce n'est la corde au cou, dans certains pays elle a lâché. Parle de justice alors qu'à la racine ils l'ont arraché. Les plus gros engrais sur la tête de ceux qui n'ont rien à mâcher. Voilà le monde d'aujourd'hui, paraît que leur plan a marché. Nous vantent un progrès technique qui dans le fond a tout saccagé. Parle d'évolution quand notre humanité s'est fait hacher. Notre cœur ne bat plus vraiment et notre inconscient est fâché. Stress, angoisse, cancer, dépression, notre compte s'est chargé. Mais on ne cherche pas la cause et les effets qu'on aimerait chasser. Philosophie fast-food pour que nos consciences soient terrassées. Au nom de la dignité humaine, nous avons dit assez. Désobéissance civile. Désobéissance civile. Désobéissance civile.
C'est une résistance contre un système qui crée le terreau favorable à la haine de l'autre, au racisme et au mépris.
Le refus de coopérer, de collaborer avec l'autorité.
Même si on marche séparément, on doit frapper ensemble.
Il y a quelque chose, une injustice quelque part, on descend tous. Il y a un problème quelque part, on descend tous.
Là, c'est de la désobéissance civile, c'est pas de la violence.
On a une place énorme, une responsabilité énorme dans ce qui s'est joué et ce qui se joue et ce qui va se jouer dans l'avenir.
That just about wraps up the August 2008 edition of No One's Legal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. We're part of CKUT's Off the Hour at 90.3 FM in Montreal, www.ckut.ca on the web. That last song was Désobéissance Civile by Kenny Arcana off her recent CD, Désobéissance. No One's Legal Radio is back on the first Thursday every month from 5 to 6 p.m. Our next show is September 4th, 2008. We urge you to get in touch about our show with your feedback, comments, critiques, and suggestions. You can email us at noneisillegal@gmail.com. That's noneisillegal@gmail.com, all one word. Or give us a call at 514-848-7583. This month's show was produced by members of No One is Legal in Montreal in conjunction with the CKUT Community News Collective. No One is Legal Montreal is part of a worldwide movement of resistance fighting for justice and dignity and the right to self-determination for migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. Our campaign is in public confrontation with the Canadian state, denouncing and taking action to combat racial profiling, police brutality, detentions, and deportations, as well as opposing the displacement and genocide of Indigenous peoples on Turtle Island. Peace out.